In today's really quick episode, we got some updates on SpaceX, we got some news from CES, and our first official installment of Why Don't They Just? Let's get ludicrous. Hey, and welcome to Our Ludicrous Future. This is the podcast where we talk about all the crazy cool future stuff that's going to be impacting our future tomorrow, today, and I'm Joe Scott. Let's go with it. We're going with it. I'm Joe Scott with the Answers with Joe YouTube channel, and with me as always is Tim Dodd.
Hey, it's me, Tim Dodd, the Everyday Astronaut, and of course we have Ben.
What's up, guys? It's Ben Sullins from Teslanomics, live from CES 2019 in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wait, yeah. CES is in someone's house?
Yes, actually, yeah. They're now making houses, and so this is one of the houses. It's inside. You can rent it. You know, it's $10,000 an hour, but, you know.
Worth it.
The YouTube money, you know.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, what is, like, explain CES for those that may not know.
And explain why this is going to be such a short podcast.
Yeah.
Well,
Ben.
Yeah, it's my fault. I'm traveling. But yeah, so CES used to be the Consumer Electronics Show. And as tech kind of grew outside of just consumer electronics, back when, you know, you had a gadget for everything, it grew just to CES, which is like this mega tech convention here in Las Vegas. Can't even tell you how many football fields it is. Somebody probably knows. But it's one of those things where, like, just walking through in a day, you're just exhausted at the end of the day, just walking through it once. So I'm here checking out all the new EVs, checking out all the wild stuff that people are unveiling, a lot of concepts, meeting with other friends, other YouTubers and stuff like that, and just kind of enjoying it and taking it all in. It's a little bit overwhelming. Like yesterday, I actually went to a different casino that was really quiet. I just like sat in the spa and was like, like trying to detox from just like the constant overload of sights and sounds at CES. So,
you know what?
But it's pretty fun. It's a lot of time.
If you want to get like relaxed and stuff, I went there actually exactly 10 years ago with my dad, and we had an awesome time. Our favorite thing we did is at the time, I think it was like one of the really nice hotels. They had like three floors where all it was high-end audio rooms, like audiophile rooms, where people bring in, I mean, like $60,000 per speaker type situations, you know, like a turntable that's 110 grand that's floating on like plutonium or something, you know. And it's really cool because you can just go and you're expected to just be sitting and enjoying music for like an hour if you want. That was definitely cool. Like my favorite day, I think, at CES.
Yeah, so far the craziest things I've seen was this company Bell, who is making they say it's fully autonomous, but there's a cockpit for a pilot. It's a drone ship. That's a six-seater. It has these ginormous propellers. So it's not a quadcopter like your typical drone, but it's like six of those. And they're massive, right? This thing's like a size of like a school bus or something. And they're partnering with Uber to do Uber Air. And it is wild. So I got some footage of it. I'll be talking about that in a video sometime soon. But I got to sit in it and ask all these questions. It's really cool. Like a lot of these conferences, you just kind of look. It's like a concept, you know, don't touch, you know, that kind of thing. This is no, like it's hands on. You get in there, you're talking to the engineers. So it's wild. And that so far has probably been the craziest thing I've seen here. I mean, it takes up this whole massive section and it's super futuristic looking. Like, They really did a killer job. We'll see what or if this thing actually flies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just did a video on flying cars not too long ago, and there's a lot of them out there. Actually, there were a few that I didn't even get to in the video, and I hadn't heard about that one, obviously, but got me curious now.
Yeah.
I'm a little curious why all of a sudden, like, the, you know, what's changed that now we're going, you know, a helicopter could be autonomous. For, you know, I mean, there's no reason a helicopter couldn't fly itself these days. So I'm curious what all of a sudden, why the shift went from, like, maybe it's the redundancy of electric motors and like these quick little hops of, like, you know, you only need maybe to go 20 minutes, then you swap batteries or something. Like, what fundamentally changed for us that we look at drones with someone in them, or, you know, quadcopters, etc., with electric motors, compared to, like, why like helicopters. Like where? Helicopter. Where do you guys think that came from?
It's probably redundancy, like you're saying. It's probably just easier to fly and a lot of that kind of stuff, right? With whoever perfected just the small drone version that you can buy, you know, probably like fundamentally, I'm not sure if there's really any difference between like a giant version of that versus a small version, right? In terms of how physics works with it. So it's probably just easier now. And, you know, cause yeah, flying a helicopter, like my brother was a pilot in the Marines for 10 years flying helicopters. And I talked to him about this stuff and he's like, yeah, there's no way. He's like, there's so many things that occur that you have to be prepared for. And the only way to be prepared is to have years and years of training and experience. But you know, a drone copter kind of thing or drone ship that has six of these that are all redundant and can be programmed to take over in all these situations might be able to pull it off. Right. So maybe that's the difference there. I mean, helicopters are not actually easy to fly.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Imagine the more rotors, the more stable it is. And I think we've gotten so used to seeing drones everywhere. Like it's just become such a common thing that it's kind of a natural progression of, oh, what if I could sit in one of those, you know?
Yeah. Just keep scaling it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is some electric car news as well. Nissan unveiled their 60 kilowatt hour version of the Nissan Leaf. Someone will have to fact check. I think it's like 226 miles of range, more or less. And I don't know if I didn't see the price, but that was a big unveiling yesterday. So that's cool. I'm all for longer range EVs, obviously. And so Nissan, I think, with the Leaf, had a real hit. And so, you know, just keeping progress on that is great. So that was a big thing. And then I'm going to do a video on this. There's a weird thing happening here at CES. It's in the auto sector. These cubes, they're like little mini buses without a driver. So it's a fully autonomous electric box. You know, it looks literally like a Kleenex box, like person size. And there's like 15 companies that have them. And it reminds me of 4K TVs. Was it 4K that came out? Or no, 3D TVs. I was at CES years ago when 3D TVs came out and everybody under the sun had a 3D TV. And you're like, why is like this laptop battery company making a 3D TV all of a sudden? What the heck? Mm-hmm. And that's how I kind of feel about this. But these cube things are everywhere. And the reason I think that's significant is because that is, I think, the next logical step in autonomy and self-driving cars. Because taking a car on the road and having it just drive autonomously in under any circumstances, under any conditions, no matter what it faces, that's incredibly challenging, right? And I still think we're years and years away from that. But if you have like a closed route, let's say at a university or at an airport or something like that, you're not going at high speeds. All the risks that, you know, things that you'd have to face, like you just eliminated so many of those that I think we will start to see these like electric boxes, cubes, or it's like a little bus essentially, but it's kind of funny looking. I think we'll start to see those. And if, you know, CES having a ton of these are any kind of indicator of that, I think we'll start to see those in a few years. Cause that makes a whole lot of sense to me and is probably really doable.
Well, yeah, like think about shuttles, like a traditional airport. If the word shuttle, like an airport shuttle, almost all of those are prime candidates for autonomy because they have a closed route. The variables are very limited. It does make a ton of sense. And electric, obviously, electrification for a vehicle like that makes a ton of sense because you'll be operating it for X amount of time at X distance or whatever. You can plug it in or swap batteries or do whatever. I mean, I'd expect that to be one of the sectors, at least in public, like in the public, that we see happen quickly.
Well, and you look at Amazon and their little swarm of delivery people and stuff like that. As soon as they can get away from having to pay drivers to take their stuff everywhere, you think they're not going to jump on that? And I think that these sort of cargo autonomous vehicles are going to be a lot easier to kind of get on board with because there's no people in it. You know, you're not risking people's lives necessarily. I mean, there's stuff obviously, and that's worth money, but you know, I think that might be one of the grounds where the technology really gets proven.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. And speaking of the challenges, did you guys see the Tesla that killed a robot here at CES?
No,
no. What?
So
the Tesla that killed a robot sounds like a children's book.
Yeah. I was just going to say a children's book.
Tesla. tell me, are you guys seeing my screen now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so and if you guys are watching on YouTube, you'll see it. If you're listening on the podcast, you can just search for this, or put a link in the show notes. So this is at CES. There's a so robots are everywhere at this place. There's all kinds of wild stuff happening, and one of these, like, I don't know if this robot escaped or something, but it's like cruising down the street. I don't know. It's just like Wall-E. Oh, and then the Tesla comes by, kind of gently knocks over. But of course I think this is hilarious because it's like self-driving car attacks the road,
Can't get up.
and yeah,
The guy looks so concerned too. I don't know what this guy's doing, but he looks genuinely like more in a state of mourning. He's just like, my not promo bot.
He's that guard after the pit monster got killed in Return of the Jedi. No.
Man, the Tesla clipped it pretty good, didn't it? I mean, at least it didn't go head on, but
Did it?
that's not very good for the are we sure it was self-driving? Was it like a demo or something?
No, okay. So this is it's funny, the Tesla community, we're very passionate about these things, and so I've seen all kinds of like scam, blah blah blah, like this stuff going on. But yeah, I mean, you're in a parking lot. Someone was probably driving this, is most likely what's happening. I doubt it was in autopilot right here. Like, you're literally going into a loading dock. This isn't like an auto kind of scenario.
That's super
And,
lazy.
Why did they label it it's killed by a self-driving Tesla car? That's so
And why is that
stupid.
robot just out there in the middle of the road for some reason?
That's
I
funny.
love it though.
And
This,
what where is this
yeah.
camera anyway?
Looks
This
like,
looks like a security
yeah.
camera, maybe. Although, yeah, it
But
is
it's in
kind
the
of in
middle
the
of the
middle of the
road.
road.
Maybe it's a dash cam?
Yeah.
Like
Or,
there's a car
yeah,
parked
it could
there?
be a dash cam, or maybe there might be like a security gate. This might be like a one of those,
Oh,
you have to
yeah.
go, because if people are, I noticed that people are driving on the left here, so maybe there's like a thing right here that we're looking at that's like a gate with an armed guard in it or something. But then they're flying through, though. I don't know. Yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
This is going to be on the front page of Jalopnik tomorrow.
Oh,
Tesla destroys technology.
it
Whoa.
probably already
That was
is.
cool. We
Yeah,
just
we went
got.
hyperdrive for a second there.
Yeah, that was great. I think that should always be our transitions. It's just like this infinity loop. Like, you are Ludacris
Just like
Future.
80s video toaster effect.
Yeah,
We
this is
had
probably
that.
a good time to. So I'm thinking already of like, this is already an episode of Why Don't They Just on its own, because we have like the worst quality that's ever going to happen. So let's apologize again. The thing we normally use, Zoom, the actual service is down.
Yeah, the site's down.
The site is down. Ben still doesn't have a camera back. He's mobile. I'll be gone all this weekend. But yeah, I'm sure we're gonna have a lot of people saying, "Why don't you just about our video quality right now?" So why don't we go ahead and transition into the first official installment of Why Don't They Just? And we're gonna
We
start.
definitely need a transition or an intro here, like dun 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 dun.
Yeah, we
A
really
little
do.
sting or something.
So. Here is the this is going to be our inaugural episode of Why Don't They Just? And it is going to be, I'm showing the video. SpaceX released the biggest, best video we have of them practicing catching the fairings. We've talked about this on the show before, where SpaceX is working on recovering these school bus-sized multi-million-dollar fairings from the edge of space. And the hardest part isn't the re-entry from space. The hardest part is the last, like, 5,000 meters or something. It's just the last little bit in the atmosphere that's really difficult. And so they've got these paragliders, technically, or parasail, that they pop open. This is a massive chute. Again, remember, this thing is the fairing is you can fit a full-blown city bus inside this thing. It is massive. And they're trying to catch it. Oh, so close.
Oh, so
With
close.
a boat called Mr. Steven, which is a boat with like a almost like I can't, it's a massive net. It's an absurdly big net, and it's trying to go out there and catch it. And this on its own is already the most Wile E. Coyote thing ever, right? I mean, this is already as ridiculous as it gets. So this experiment trying to do this is just fodder for Why Don't They Just? Because I mean, there is just so many. so many like suggestions. Why don't you just do this? And of course, I have my own version. You know, we talked about this on the show one time. So I'm going to inaugurate myself for this episode of Why Don't They Just? And we're going to talk about why this is bad. But someday, this is what I replied to this. Someday, Mr. Steven, someday. Or someday you'll get replaced by four massive drones with a 1 kilometer square kilometer net. And you can nap for a while, but either way, someday. Because we talked about this on the show one time, and we got good feedback, you know, of what if they had four massive drones? Like the type of drones that you're talking about, Ben, almost, like, that are people carrier drones. You know, we're talking about something that can carry thousands, you know, like a full metric ton or something each, you know, and then spread out a giant net. You know, we're talking a net that's 10 times bigger than this or something. And in with hive mind, because you wouldn't believe what people are capable of programming, like hive mentality out of drones. I mean, they can do like acrobatics. There's videos of drones doing stuff like throwing a ball around in a net between four of them. I mean, it could theoretically be possible. And a drone, there's four sets of drones could maneuver really quickly. So, why don't you guys discuss why don't they just use four drones?
Why don't they just use a tractor beam? Come on. Just stop, freeze it in midair. I'm going to figure that one out.
Seriously. Anybody got some good...
I see the video there, and to me, it looks like a James Bond movie. I expect like a dude to pop out of that when it hits the water and just take off like a speedboat. Why don't they just turn it into a speedboat so when it hits the water, it just goes?
Just put a little propeller in there.
Why don't you just...
Yeah. Well, it just
drives itself back to the port.
Well, that is kind of funny because they are talking about apparently they're going to try reusing ones that they've actually just caught without it being in the net or that they've softly landed. They have apparently updated the internals of them, like the internal foam and insulation is now waterproof, which is probably one of the worst things that could have been affected by the salt water and stuff. But it sounds like they're going to try and do that anyway. But they're still working on trying to catch it because I think that would just be the ideal situation, obviously.
Why don't they have a giant ball pit and they just land it in the giant ball pit, like in Nevada somewhere, in the desert?
Well, it's going to fall over the ocean because, unfortunately, it's following the rocket, and so the rocket won't be flying over populated areas or land when the fairing gets deployed. So the fairing doesn't have like any real cross range capability. You know, like once it's up in space on its trajectory, it's going to fall within like a very small, relatively small area. You know, we're talking a couple square kilometers, basically. You know, there's nothing that could happen, wind included, that it could ever get like back to land or somewhere that's not just the middle of the ocean, basically.
Right.
So here's a why don't they just, and I don't want to spoil my next video too much, but it's it's going to be talking a bit about the Vulcan, Tim. I'm sure you're very familiar. And they're going to use a Skyhook to actually reuse the engines on that. So when I saw the fairing coming down in this sort of parafoil, so like why couldn't they do a Skyhook maneuver and just catch it in midair with a plane or a helicopter?
Yeah, I mean, they do take off with the helicopter at the beginning of the video, pulling a fairing.
Yeah.
So they can physically carry a fairing. That's not an issue.
Yeah.
I just wonder if the aerodynamics of... Because, you know, the engine and you know, if you have an engine and you have a parachute or a parafoil on that engine, like the smart recovery system from Vulcan, the thing about that is that it's pretty heavy and it's pretty predictable. You know, like it's a big, solid, massive thing.
Oh, okay.
I think if you're trying to really move a fairing attached to a parafoil, there's a lot of aerodynamic effects there. It's going to catch a lot of wind. It could potentially be really dangerous if you're trying to do anything besides go straight up and straight down. You know, if you're catching it mid swoop or something, it might just be too dangerous. Maybe.
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
That's...
But I will say, when I was watching that video just now, I was like, I would love to ride one of those things. Like that's going to be a Tesla perk someday. That's going to be something that you could win for referrals, is to be able to like ride the fairing back down.
Oh.
We'll just strap you with duct tape to the inside of the fairing, with a gas mask.
Honestly, I know that sounds absolutely absurd, but do you know how much money I would actually pay to be strapped? Like, just line that thing with seats. Give us all spacesuits, like EVA spacesuits, because you're only going to be in space for like 5 minutes or something, you know? And just ride that baby back down.
You know that ride at the carnivals where it like it just spins in a circle and you like the centripetal force smashes you to the.
Do they
to
still
the
have those, or is that when we were kids?
No, they still have those.
I want to say they have one at the Texas State Fair.
Yeah, they've got them.
Human life be damned, you know.
But, yeah.
No, that's what I see. It's like the inside of the fairings. Everybody just like strapped to the side, like a whole line of people in there.
Would you get your astronaut shepherds for that?
Yeah.
I guess you would.
You would, right?
Yep. The fairings definitely almost, I think, in every flight make it beyond the Kármán line by a significant amount, actually. I think normally they're deployed around, 120, 130, 140 kilometers in altitude or something. And lots of times when they're deployed, they're still actually coasting up even. So they might go quite a bit higher. They're not just, they don't deploy and just drop straight down. They drop... they still follow their ballistic trajectory. So they might actually peak out pretty high in altitude, actually. That'd be sweet.
I just love how we're seriously talking about this. No, we could totally make this happen.
Why don't they just make a ride out of it?
Yeah.
And charge us all $10,000 and it subsidizes the cost of the launch.
See, just line it like reverse corn, like a reverse corn cob. We're all just lined in there. An inverted
it's
corn cob.
It's a hollow cob theory.
now the Iowa boy is coming out.
Oh man!
Well, so you had some SpaceX news. We're kind of having to move this thing along because Ben's got some stuff he's got to get to. So didn't you have some SpaceX news you were going to talk about?
Yeah, the other one was just this. I really wanted to share this. This would be quick again too. But basically, ladies and gentlemen, we have photographs of the launch pad. With
so cool looking.
The Crew Dragon out there at L30 at Launch Complex 39A at Kennedy Space Center. So this is the first demonstration Dragon 2 that's going to do a full orbital mission, go up and dock, not even berth, but dock with the International Space Station. So it's basically like doing a cargo run, but uncrewed. This first one will be uncrewed. There will be no one inside it, but they have it out on the pad. This was a full, they did a dry dress rehearsal, basically, getting it ready for flight. It's just really cool. This is the first time we've seen this. They have the prettiest pictures they've released in a long time for anything. Just super, super pretty. I cannot wait to see this thing fly.
That's amazing.
This is just super exciting to see. And look at their crew access arm. What was that?
Well, speaking of the crew access arm, I'm looking at it and I'm like, you have to walk in slow motion through that thing.
You know what they should do
inside the crew arm?
Here's a why don't they just put a treadmill that's going against the flow of traffic, so the astronauts get to take more and more time going down the crew access way, and like a airport thing or whatever. But that way, they really get to like strut down that thing for like a solid mile before they get in. Sorry, 1.6 kilometers.
I wonder if they have a team, that's like, okay, thanks guys. Can we just go back and do that one more time? We need you to go all the way back to the end. And this time, a little bit slower,
They just
see some determination on your face.
I hope like they just have a TV showing Bruce Willis from Armageddon, like walking out, and they're just like, more like this, more like this.
Liv Tyler standing on the pad. No, don't go.
I assume that's what's happening. I mean,
some quip.
I can only assume that's what's happening, guys. But this is all. Go ahead.
Sorry, but this launch date has been moved again. Yeah,
because
of the shutdown. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I think
I heard that somewhere that it's being adjusted.
I think SpaceX seems to be ready to go. Basically, right now the issue is unfortunately with NASA with the government shutdown. So it's basically a one-to-one delay right now. For every day delayed, every day the government shut down, it gets delayed a day. Like, I think they probably have, once the government's reopened, they probably have about 10 days or whatever, 10 days, 2 weeks or something like that, maybe 2 weeks or so, from when it opens up to when they'll be able to fly it. So right now we're kind of looking at, you know, if the government opens up next week, which who knows? I know we don't want to talk politics, but this is lasting longer than I thought it would. You know, so maybe if it opens up in a week, hopefully we're still aiming at the beginning of February. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I'll be down there for this. This is one I'm like going down to with a pretty large team too. So I'm like having to try to orchestrate all this, and it's, oh my God, blood pressure.
Hell yeah.
What's with the, are they doing an abort test also?
Yes, they will also do an in-flight abort test after this. And that'll be, I think they're actually reusing this capsule. Once they land, they'll it'll splash down after, I think it's like a 2-week mission or something. It'll splash down, they'll recover it. They'll do a little bit of refurbishment, but they don't need to do a lot because they're just going to abort it anyway. so then they'll get it back, and they'll be doing that before they put humans on top, and that will be on top. So they'll go ahead.
Yeah. So the in-flight abort is it takes off, and then the capsule shoots off of it mid-flight.
Correct. At maximum aerodynamic pressure. So the point when the vehicle's going faster and faster and faster, the air's the thickest, well, not thickest, but it has the most amount of pressure on the vehicle.
Yeah.
After that point, you know, the air's getting thinner. The atmosphere's getting thinner because it's increasing in altitude. But there's that kind of convergent point where it's going faster. The compression of the atmosphere is greatest. It's actually producing a lot of force on the vehicle. And then they're going to abort. So all of a sudden, boom, they light those eight. There's actually like eight Super Draco engines that are hypergolic. There's two. They're in sets. There's like four of them in packs of two. They're going to light them, shoot off the rocket. The rocket, I hear, maybe this is just total rumor that it's going to be detonated, or it's just expected to explode because it's at the point of maximum aerodynamic pressure, and all of a sudden you take off the nose cap, basically.
Well,
it's expected to rupture.
Yeah.
So that will be an awesome one to watch. That'll be like, screw a normal, like, successful, oh, we delivered a satellite. This is going to be some fireworks. Yeah. Yeah,
and all the headlines will read SpaceX crew mission blows up mid flight.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the point.
Yep. Yep. I guarantee it.
And kills promo bot on the way down.
And what? And kills promo bot.
It's a promo bot launch test.
Yeah, there is. For some reason, there is like a water version of promo bot out in the ocean. They're like testing it for some reason that same day. And it smashes it.
Gotta become a meme. Just like one video after another of just like Teslas and SpaceX vehicles knocking over security.
It like lands on Blue Origin or something, you know? Like, ooh,
you pull
me sorry,
a garage,
guys.
There's just a bot there. Oh, man.
I love it. Well, guys, I know, Ben, we got a time crunch. I apologize to our audience. I know we took a week off 2 weeks ago. We'll be back next week with a full episode and we'll make up for it. But I think we got to keep it pretty quick. What are you guys working on though, Ben? What are you excited to see down at CES?
Yeah, I'm going to go check out these cubes, some more EVs.
All the cubes with wheels.
It's actually pretty cool. I mean, you know, I got to sit in a couple of them and stuff. It's fun. It's interesting. Yeah. And I'm doing a talk with National Rental Car has like this panel they're doing. So I'm going to go be a part of that panel talking about self-driving cars, electric vehicles and stuff like that. So yeah, it's going to be fun. And then maybe doing some other stuff regarding charging and how businesses can set up charging stations at their location and kind of what the cost would be and all that. So,
ooh, please do that.
Kind of selflessly doing that for my dad.
Yeah. And my wife is looking, we want some public charging stations outside of some of their developments. And we're in the middle of like trying to figure out some of that. So I'm excited to see what you've got for us.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Sold. I'll do it.
Joe, what are you working on?
Well, I kind of gave it away a minute ago, I'm doing a video for Monday on ULA.
Yes.
I'm stepping into your territory a little bit.
Oh, that's great. I love it. That's
awesome.
Actually,
I do that a lot.
Is it specifically about Vulcan or is it just kind of about ULA?
It's general. ULA in general. I've been trying to cover all the different private and public space agencies around the world, and it's ULA's time.
It is.
It's their time. It's their time in the hot seat.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I'll be doing a lot on ULA in probably my next video. Not the one that's like I have one done that's coming out as soon as we basically leave this today. I'm dropping one about. I finally just broke down, and I did one about Starhopper. The hopping SpaceX thing. But I decided, you know, I'm trying to avoid all the speculation because it's just constant speculation at this point. So I'm like, all right, why don't I just stick to the facts and I'll explain what it's going to do and, like, the hopper part of it, you know, and just compare it to the old Grasshopper and F9R. So this video is actually going to be why is – get this for clickbait, but it's total truth. Why SpaceX's next rocket won't make it to space. Because it will never go above 5 kilometers in altitude. It's just
I gotta watch that.
Yeah. So then I address that right away. Like, no, this isn't clickbait. This actual rocket will not go to space because it's not made to do that. You know. So I'm doing
that.
And
if it doesn't go to space, is it actually a rocket? You know.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, can you?
Yeah, it's a rocket propulsion. Like, that's all it is. You know, it's not a spaceship.
It's like a dog. It's like a dog that's under 40 pounds. Is it really a dog or just a cat at that point?
Not quite Ron Swanson.
I'm excited. The next one I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be doing Boeing. So Boeing's like Starliner versus the and the Atlas V that it's riding on. Then the versus like the Dragon 2 and the Falcon 9 like we just showed pictures of versus the Soyuz. So all the rides to the International Space Station. I'm going to compare like if you were literally an astronaut today – what are you going to be riding on and what are your options riding with basically if you're a NASA astronaut, where, how can you get to the ISS? And I'm really excited about that one because those are some good, like that'll be a good old comparison. You know, they're very different vehicles. All three of them are. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, sounds good, guys.
Quick and dirty. Sorry for being so quick, everybody.
He said you had 40 minutes, and it's 40 minutes exactly right now, according to my watch.
Well, look at that.
Oh, actually, no, it's 30. Never mind. I was looking at a different clock.
I was looking at the backwards clock.
Why don't you just look at the right clock?
Well, everybody, be sure and leave us, you know, some feedback. We're going to start also including, like, a corrections thing, too. So when we inevitably mess up, we do want to be, you know, setting the facts straight. Ben's shaking his head. You know, about if like we're making a big dumb mistake, we're gonna address it. I think that's part of part of academia. So yeah, keep that in mind. We'll also be doing our favorite why don't they just of each week going forward. So we're excited to hear from you guys. Reach us, you know, I think on Twitter would probably be the easiest way to find us. At any of our handles, we got what I'm at Erday Astronaut. What do you guys? I keep tagging the wrong Joe Scott on Twitter.
Yeah, some poor schmuck named Joe Scott out there got a whole lot of my my fans talking to. Now mine is at Answers with Joe.
That's right. Yeah, and Ben, what's yours?
And I changed mine. Mine's just Ben Sullins.
Just Ben Sullins. Okay. Yeah. So reach out to us. Let us know. That's probably the best way to get a hold of us. Your favorite, like your biggest, most. Why don't they just? And we'll maybe it'll get featured on our next episode. And slowly the name of this podcast will change to Why Don't They Just?
That's a good one.
Oh.
Well, cool, guys, well, we will see you
in our ludicrous future.